This is All Things Considered on KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. In February, before the coronavirus pandemic took hold in the U.S., KNKX toured a massive construction project at SeaTac Airport, the new International Arrivals Facility. And we met with the airport's manager, Lance Little. Amid the building boom, we asked him, what happens if the economy turns sour? Here's what he told us.
One of the things some airports have made a mistake, is during the down years, they stop because they get pressure from the airlines. Hey, why are we building this thing? We're in a downturn. And then when you stop, the growth starts again, and you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years behind the curve.
That conversation aired on this program just days before the coronavirus pandemic took hold here. SeaTac Airport is owned by the Port of Seattle, which has a number of big construction projects on the books. And this week, commissioners started making some decisions about which projects would continue. Fred Fellman is vice president of the Port of Seattle Commission. Mr. Fellman, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ed.
We just heard a clip of the airport director talking before the pandemic about the desire to keep building during a downturn, should one ever arrive. Now that it has, will SeaTac Airport keep building?
Well, Lance seemed to be prescient in his comments that for sure it's critical that we keep the economic engine rolling. And obviously this is a significant downturn, but nobody expects it to last forever.
I don't want to be glib about what's going on in any way, shape, or form, but I am curious if there's an advantage to continuing big projects during a difficult economy.
Typically, you know, things are less expensive when the demand is down. There are challenges, though, because of the added protections you have to put in place to allow for construction to continue safely. And the supply chain has been challenged for some of the products. So it's not quite as straightforward as one would think, you know, just during a recession or something. But certainly the need to keep the construction going is important both for the region's economy, as well as Lance said, so that we have the resilience to resume when things pick up again.
So the port is continuing and maybe even accelerating some work at SeaTac Airport, but it is postponing the construction of a big cruise terminal along the downtown Seattle waterfront near the stadiums.
Right. There are things at the airport you can do logistically that you can't do when it's busy. At the cruise terminal, given the uncertainties of the growth of the cruise industry, at least in the short term, there's plenty of other projects that we can pursue that we're just going to move forward that are already on our construction project list. But we are going to continue to make the basic surveys and assessments of the geophysical characteristics of the Terminal 46, because that's important to do with whatever tenant we put there.
When we visited SeaTac's construction, again, before the pandemic hit, people had to work fairly close together in some places to get stuff done. Across all your projects, how does the port plan to keep construction workers safe while these projects are underway?
Well, this is key to us being able to continue. We've made some investments that very few others have, with regards to like buying extra hand tools for the carpenters and stuff, so that there's less passing between the hammers between people. There's certainly places where social spacing between people can actually be accommodated because they don't have to work, you know, in an active airport. That's one of the great challenges for us in almost all of our projects and makes them more expensive, is because there's a limited amount of time you can do these projects. You have to work late hours to fit in between a congested airport. So there's a lot of extra cleaning going on. There's quite a few operational issues. I'm working very carefully with the general contractors and with the labor force. You know, there's actually even we're putting an additional foreman on the job to make sure that those protocols that we are implementing are actually being conducted.
Let's talk about the economic impact of these projects. The Port of Seattle says the projects it is continuing are worth about $1.5 billion to the economy. Where does that number come from?
Well, there's the direct jobs associated with the employment, and then there are the multipliers. And so the trickle down in the economy is, you know, we're mostly a service economy, right? And so all those workers that have to be on these shifts are obviously having to eat and drink coffee and things like that. One of the really scary things at the airport, for example, is, we've gone from, 1,200 flights a day to, 300 to 400 flights a day. All those small restaurants and retail facilities, 60 of them are closed. There's 27 remain open. In fact, much of the activity at those small places are from the construction workers eating on the job. And so it's the multipliers are throughout the economy. And, even like with cruise, and we're trying to, promote stay another day. I want people to stay another week. I don't want to just sell Alaska. The ecotourism, natural wealth of Washington State is something that we hope to, you know, permeate from these active tourism programs that we're involved with.
I think everybody who's going through this right now wishes they could see into the future, of course. Knowing that none of us can, what's your outlook as we go through the rest of this and into the long-term future?
I'm definitely optimistic. It is remarkable how the world is feeling this punch collectively. I don't know that there's ever been a moment of, we should feel this way about climate change. We don't. It doesn't impact people as urgently as this does. But I think there's this commitment collectively to get ourselves out of it. And one of the really most encouraging things is in the scientific community. And while this nation is not the shining example of collaboration between the state and federal government, I do believe that the collaboration across the borders has been a very encouraging sign. I really want to give a big shout out to those frontline workers, both at the port and the health system. And obviously you don't have recovery without people. And it's said a lot, but we are committed to making sure both our own employees and those that work for the port and our tenants are cared for. Our executive director, Steve Metrick, is a former Coast Guard admiral. I mean, safety is our top priority, and we take it really seriously and are forever indebted to those folks that are committed to continuing to work with us. And the entire region is better for it.
Has this reframed the way the port as an entity is thinking about how it conducts business?
I've always been of the impression that, you know, we have to manage growth, not just promote it without end in sight. I think, you know, we have to sustain an effort that allows for the community to thrive. You know, we can't have too much of a good thing. And sometimes having a reset moment so that we can ramp back up in a way that brings everybody along for the ride. And we've spent a tremendous amount of time in advancing our concerns about equity and diversity. And that as we bring these jobs back into the force, that we hopefully will be able to embrace the broadest economic sector along for the ride. This has been something that has been identified for many years, and we've been doing our best to address, but I think this will perhaps be an opportunity to do it even better.
Commissioner Fred Fellerman, thank you for your time.
Thank you.